Hello and welcome to TY's 20, your monthly sports podcast broadcasted live from WordPress Radio. Today on the show, we are doing our National League preview as the Major League Baseball season starts next week. And Seth Lawrence will be joining us once again in just a few minutes. With that in mind, I don't have much time to talk about much else on this month's show, but I did want to say a few quick words about number 18, Peyton Manning. He's no longer a Colt, and that's a tough thing for a lifelong Colts fan to swallow, but I wish him the best, and Denver's officially my second favorite team right now, and I hope he does well. I hope he sets more records. And from the Colts side of things, however, I honestly cannot blame them for making the decision that they made. They've got the top overall pick in April's upcoming draft, and Andrew Luck is going to be a good quarterback. I'm very confident in that. He may even be a great quarterback, but when you consider the money situation, when you consider Peyton's injuries and his age and also the money due, not to mention we also wanted to give Peyton a chance to compete for a Super Bowl title right away, and that probably wouldn't have happened in Indianapolis. He does make all the difference in the world. I do think he would have made them a good team again, but that would be difficult to make them Super Bowl contenders at this point. So let him go somewhere and give him a chance. And keep in mind, he's not even guaranteed to be healthy. But a big thank you to Peyton Manning. Words cannot describe how grateful I am as a Colts fan for what he meant to my city and my team. I don't even think they would be in Indianapolis if it wasn't for Peyton. But moving forward, I wish him the very best, and I'm looking forward to the Andrew Luck era. Also, one quick note about IU basketball. The wonderful season came to an end as the Hoosiers dropped to Kentucky in the Sweet 16. But what a season it was. 27 wins, a Sweet 16 appearance, lots of wins over top teams, and all of it came a year earlier than expected. Quick message to Kentucky fans. Yes, you won the bigger game, but that win on December 10th will always be remembered as a turning point in IU's history under this new era, and IU is definitely back. And the sky's the limit for this team moving forward. Even if Christian Watford makes a stupid decision and goes pro a year early, IU is still going to be a great team next year and beyond. So I'm very proud of my Hoosiers for the great season, for getting the program back to prominence, and next year's season will be one of the most anticipated seasons for them in my lifetime. All right, now it is time for our National League preview, and we once again welcome Seth Lawrence to the show. Seth, are you ready for some baseball or what?
I have been ready, TY, since the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. First things first, let's talk about the offseason. It seems like the American League took most of the thunder this year in terms of the biggest offseason moves. But what offseason moves stuck out to you the most for the National League? Was there anything that's surprising to you?
Well, I thought the Nationals made a few good moves, quite honestly, TY. We all know about Strasburg and Harper and Worth and Zimmerman over there. But I really like the acquisition of Gio Gonzalez to that rotation, because it gives them a left-handed presence in that starting lineup, I think. And I also like Brad Lidge over to the bullpen to be a backup to Storen Clifford, Tyler Clifford. I think those two moves make the Nationals very good, and I really think the Nationals will contend not just for a wild card, but I really think they're going to contend for the division. We'll get to that later. But I also was kind of surprised that the Brewers went after Aramis Ramirez so hard at third base, just because I thought they had a young guy, Matt Gamble, that could play third base, but he looks like he's going to take the place of Fielder at first base. So I thought that was a good move for the Nationals, or for the, the Brewers, to kind of, if you can, fill in the place where Prince Fielder left in the lineup.
Yeah, talking about the Nationals, I'm going to stay in the same division and talk a little bit about the Miami Marlins. Mark Burley to them was a big one for me, because if Josh Johnson can stay healthy, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch atop the rotation. And also talking about the Marlins, signing Jose Reyes, which I'm sure is a bit of a hard thing for you to swallow as a Mets fan, but that was a shock to me, because it's not every day that you see a team that already has a top three shortstop add another top shortstop and then ask their franchise player to change positions, especially when he's still young. But I think it's going to work out for them, and Ozzie Guillen going to Miami will keep things loose for them. The Marlins also bringing in Carlos Zambrano, a guy who really needed a change. And I think, you know, the Marlins kind of dominate this topic for me this offseason. Another thing is the Reds acquiring Matt Latos could be a big move if he stays healthy. And I think the Arizona Diamondbacks really did themselves some favors by adding even more depth to their team. That's an exciting young team to watch. We can't talk too much about the National League, though, without discussing our teams a little bit. So let me give you a chance to give you some New York Mets time, and then I'll do mine for the Cubbies.
All right, T.Y. Well, you know, the Mets, you know, are not in a very good state payroll-wise, and it's definitely going to show with what they're putting on the field this year. But I think the biggest thing for them was just to get over all this financial stuff. They made a settlement. They paid back their two biggest debts to baseball, also to Bernie Madoff, whatever it was they owed him. They've made those payments. And now I think the skies have cleared. It's not completely sunny at Citi Field yet, but I think things are really starting to look good. Johan Santana has had an unbelievable spring. David Wright looks like he's finally healthy. The kid in right field by the name of Lucas Duda looks like he is going to be a monster if he can figure it out at the plate consistently. I don't think they're going to contend this year and probably not even next year if I had to guess, but I think they could start to make, they can make a couple nice acquisitions in the next few years, and they've got some young pitchers in the minor leagues in a few years that are going to be ready to, I think, take them to the next level in what's already a tough division.
Yeah, your team, the Mets, and my team, the Cubs, both in a bit of a transition period. I'm actually pretty excited for this season for the Cubs. I don't think they're going to contend for the division title, and it's very possible that they'll lose a lot of games. But this year just feels different with the new regime. Theo and his crew are running the show now, new manager Dale Swaim. And the Cubs are trying to create a young core to build around, and they acquired Anthony Rizzo in the offseason. He and Brett Jackson, they're going to start in AAA, but they'll be up eventually. And, of course, you know about Starlin Castro. And, you know, it's kind of a building block for this team. They're finally being ran by people who know a thing or two about baseball. It's kind of weird to say that. But I'm not sure how long this process will take. But I do believe that once the Cubs are back in contention, whatever that may be, they'll be a contender pretty much every year from that point. And that's all you can really ask for as a fan. That's what Theo and Jed Hoyer have said themselves, that's how you win a world title. It's by being in contention, making the playoffs year in and year out. And especially as a fan of a team that hasn't won in a billion years, it's definitely going to be different. No Zambrano, no Ramirez, no Sean Marshall. There's a lot of other guys on the trade block. Marlon Byrd, Gio Soto. I think this will be Ryan Dempster's last year as a Cub, if he even lasts for the full year. So it's going to be a change, but change is very good for this franchise, and I think they'll be improved over last year. Maybe not quite playoff contenders, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. And now that we got to talk about our teams a little bit, let's discuss our picks. And again, it's very, very early to do this. We'll see how close we are at the end of the year. But let's discuss our picks for Cy Young and MVP. I'll go first with Cy Young, and then I'll ask your opinion for both Cy Young and MVP. For Cy Young, I'm going to go with Clayton Kershaw. And there's a lot of excitement surrounding the Dodger organization with Magic Johnson and everyone purchasing them for over $2 billion. Kershaw's got some filthy stuff. He's still young. I'm not convinced that the Dodgers will win the division, but he's going to get my vote for Cy Young for this year. What about you?
And I would love to see that kid win back-to-back Cy Young, but I really would. I like him a lot. I like he's a Sandy Koufax of our generation, I think. But I'm going to go with Zach Greinke in the NL Central. There really isn't a lineup in that division that stands out, and I think Zach Greinke could be in for a huge year. He's adjusted to the National League style of play. He had a good year last year. I think there was an adjustment period. Obviously, he missed that first 2-3 weeks of the season. I'm going to go with Greinke. I think he's poised for a big year, and I think I'm going to go with Greinke, although I would like to see Kershaw do it.
Yeah, Greinke's got some filthy stuff himself. The key for him, I think, is going to be, can he improve on the road? He was so good at home last year. I mean, almost unhittable. Had such a good record at home, and I think the Brewers went – several months without even losing a game when he pitched at Miller Park. But he did improve his road splits towards the end of the year. So if he can build off that, I think that could be a pretty good pick. What about MVP? Who are you going with?
I'm going to go with Carlos Gonzalez out in Denver for the Rockies. I think that he is the real deal. I could really see him putting together a 30-30 season and driving in 100 runs, getting a little protection in the lineup, which were too risky there. I've liked Carlos Gonzalez since he came up for the Rockies, and I think help last year slowed him up a little bit. He started really slow. His numbers were not good. I think he gets off to a rip-roaring start, and I think he probably hits 30 homers, steals 30 bags, drives in 100, and I think he's the MVP this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, my fantasy team is loving you right now because I've got Greinke and Carlos Gonzalez, so we all hope that you are correct on these predictions. I picked Carlos Gonzalez to win the MVP last year, and he had a few health issues. He didn't have quite as big of a year as the year before, but I agree with you. His talent is unbelievable. It's off the charts, and I like the Rockies team, and so that could be a good pick. And last year, to remind everyone, you were correct in picking Ryan Braun, so maybe you'll get the pick right again this year. For MVP for me, I'm going to go with Joey Votto. And the reasons, he's no longer overshadowed by Pujols or Prince Fielder. The Reds, however, they may need to make the playoffs for this to happen because you know how the MVP votes go sometimes. But I do see Votto having a monster year. To me, Tulowitzki is a little too injury prone to make that call. I think Ryan Braun is still going to have a great year, but maybe not quite as much as last year. He may suffer a little bit from the effects of the appeal and things like that. I think Upton is going to get MVP eventually, but to me, he hasn't been consistent enough just yet, and he's only 24 years old. So I'm going to give the nod to Joey Votto. Not completely confident in that pick, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, I like that one, T.Y., and I think that Ryan Braun, even if he has a monster year again, which I think he will, I think he lost a lot of respect, not just for the testing positive, but I heard a lot of things about people were not happy with the way he challenged the ruling and the way he presented that, and I think he's going to lose a lot of respect among the voters.
Yeah, that's a good point, and very, very possible that happens as well. Now let's talk about the divisions and talk about who we think is going to win and also who we might see in the wild card race. And yes, there will be two wild cards this year. Like it or not, that rule was officially passed last month. And I got to tell you, this is a pretty tough thing to do. One of the many reasons I love baseball is that I feel like there's so many teams that come into spring training thinking that they have a chance. And baseball always seems to have at least one, maybe even two, breakout teams that you didn't expect out of spring training. But this year in the National League, I got to tell you, I have no idea what's going to happen. I think all three divisions are wide open, possibly three, maybe even four teams in each division that have a chance, which is really cool as a fan. But let's start in the NL West. I'm going to take Arizona, a very exciting young team. They made the playoffs last year. To me, they improved their depth even more. It's not easy to win the NL West 2 years in a row, and they're going to have some competition, but I do like their chances. I'm still a fan of the Rockies roster, but, you know, the Rockies, it seems like they could finish fourth or they can make a run of the division. It's hard to say. San Francisco has the pitching, maybe not enough hitting unless Posey has a monster year. I think the Dodgers will contend. Of course, they've got MVP and Cy Young candidates, so that can't hurt, but I'm going to take Arizona in the West.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Arizona too, T.Y. I just like their balance, pitching along with some good hitting. I think they were a fortunate team last year with timely hitting, but I just think that they've got to be my favorite right now. This division, to me, I mean, I could honestly even see the Dodgers coming in, or the Padres, rather, even coming in and making a move just because of the young players they've got coming up, and, you know, maybe the youth in that team energizes them or something. But I agree with you. I think the Rockies could be there. I just can't ever bet on the Rockies just because it's too easy to lose with them. I think Arizona is a safe bet, and I think they'll be there at the end of the year.
All right, moving on now to the National League East, and this is kind of a division that, even though Philadelphia has owned it for a while and Atlanta owned it before them, it still seems like there's a lot of teams that can get it done. This year, despite their pitching, I don't know if Philly can get it done this year because of the injury situation, because of some guys getting up there in age. Utley and Howard both are not going to be on the field on opening day. Now, they do have those three outstanding pitchers, Halladay, Cliff Lee, Cole Hamels. But I think this could be the year that Philly falls short. I think Miami's going to be in the race. Washington, I think, will be in the race, or possibly they might be 1 year away. And the Braves are always in the race. So this is a really, really tough one for me. And I feel completely unconfident about this pick. But I'm going to take the Braves, and maybe for sentimental reasons. It's Chipper Jones' last season. They've got good pitching. I think Hayward may have his breakout year. And again, I'm not confident at all at this pick, but I'll make it anyway for Atlanta.
Yeah, I can't remember, T.Y., if it was you and me last year we talked about this, or if maybe it was somebody else I was talking to. But last year I kind of felt like Detroit's the Tigers' window and their opportunities to finish strong and be a contending team was dwindling because of age. Ryan Howard didn't come up as a very young person. Neither did Chase Utley. I just think Philadelphia's age is getting to them, and I don't, they're not young. They're not, you know, they're other than Cole Hamels, they only have a young pitcher on that roster. I just don't see them doing it. I think injuries are going to plague them this year. I didn't like them going out and re-signing Jimmy Rollins. I thought they could have done better. Maybe even gone, made a play for Jose Reyes. But in this division, like you said, I don't feel confident in this pick at all, but I'm actually going to take the Marlins. I think the Marlins have what it takes, and I think they can be consistent enough to make it happen.
Yeah, to me, as long as Hanley Ramirez gets back to being Hanley, that's going to be a tough team with Stanton in the middle. You got those speedsters at the top, Ozzie Guillen, and, of course, that good rotation, assuming Johnson stays healthy. So we'll see what happens. Moving on to the NL Central, I know Prince Fielder is gone, but I'm still taking the Brewers here. The lineup is still going to be good. They got Braun, Ramirez, Hart, and Weeks. You know, it's still solid. They still have three real good pitchers, Greinke, Gallardo, and Markham. And I do think the Reds are going to contend. I think the Cardinals will contend, but I'm going to give the nod to Milwaukee Brewers. And I'm not going to sleep on them like so many people are. I mean, this team won a lot of games last year. And, yeah, they did lose Prince, but they do have a good overall team, I believe.
Yeah, I think that pitching depth makes them pretty appealing. And I'm going to go with the Brewers, too. You know, I think a lot last year, Ryan Braun carried the team, and obviously you talked about missing Prince Fielder. But, you know, their pitching was exceptional last year. And I think the offense really overshadowed how good the pitching was. And I think the pitching this year is going to be kind of the main player there in Milwaukee. People, I think, will talk about it a little bit more. And I think they will miss Prince Fielder, but I think they'll find other ways to get those runs in, you know, without clearing the bases.
Absolutely. Now, we got a little bit of time left. Is there anything that you'd like to say left about the National League? What are you most excited for, or what do you got? Last final comments here.
Wild cards in both leagues, but especially the National League, I think is going to be so exciting because there's no clear front runner for any division. You know, maybe the Central, you could argue the Brewers maybe the best clear cut option, but the wild card is going to make this National League year so exciting, and you can be, you know, eight games out in, you know, come the trade deadline and really still have an opportunity because of that second spot, because if another team falls out or another team chokes, you know, or somebody gets injured, I mean, you've got an opportunity to make it. And I think the trade deadline will be more strategic this year. And I'm just like a 50-wise, this second wild card just opens up the doors for excitement in baseball.
I'm right there with you. Now, I'm one of those people who thinks that every single playoff series should be seven games. That's the change that I wanted to see the most. But I got to admit, this will be a very exciting thing, and we'll see how it plays out. And there's going to be a lot of teams that are still in the race. It's going to create a lot of buzz. This is even going to affect the trade deadline in a great way. So I'm excited to see how it plays out. More excited for opening day, which is just around the corner. Of course, technically there's been two games in Japan, but the real games, it seems like, start next week, and I couldn't be more excited. So Seth, we thank you once again for being our baseball insider for this year preview for both leagues, and go Cubs, go Mets.
Indeed. Thank you, T.Y.
Thanks.